Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Yellow Pages' third quarter 2016 earnings release call. Today's conference call contains forward-looking information about Yellow Pages' outlook, objectives, and strategy. These statements are based on assumptions and are subject to important risks and uncertainties. Yellow Pages' actual results could differ materially from expectations discussed. The details of Yellow Pages' caution regarding forward-looking information, including key assumptions and risks, can be found in Yellow Pages' management discussion and analysis for the third quarter of 2016. This call is being recorded and webcast, and all of the disclosure documents are available on the company's website and on SEDAR. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Julien Billot, President and CEO. Please go ahead, Mr. Billot.
Thank you, Paul, and good morning, everyone, and welcome to Yellow Pages Limited's third quarter 2016 conference call. Joining me today is Ginette Maillet, Chief Financial Officer of Yellow Pages. We have a good amount of material to cover today, and I'm looking forward to our Q&A session as well. However, to begin, you have likely all noted the news we issued this morning along with our Q3 results. We announced that two of our senior executive team members will be retiring next year, including Ginette, who many of you know as well. I would like to add a bit of context to this. Our corporate strategy, which I launched upon my arrival, called Return to Growth, was aimed at developing mechanisms to generate cash to pay down our debt, which would, bit by bit, grant us the financial freedom to make the investments we deem necessary to build a future for this business. It was also aimed at stabilizing key pillars of our business, namely our customer base, our media properties, our brand perception, and finding business efficiencies to contribute to stronger financial structure. We are executing our strategy well. We had to make some bold moves in order to innovate and to move even faster. Not all of these moves are easy decisions, but they are always catalysts of change that help us move closer to our ultimate goal of becoming the Canadian leader in local digital media and marketing solutions for businesses. Today, we are making some additional changes to our organization. Ginette has had a distinguished career at Yellow Pages spanning over a decade. Under her leadership, we have controlled costs, paid down debt, and stabilized the financial structure of Yellow Pages in accordance with what we outlined in our Return to Growth strategy. Ginette will be staying on as Chief Financial Officer until March 2017 and will actively assist with the transition process when a new CFO is named. The search process for this position is already underway. We have retained the firm Russell Reynolds to assist us with finding candidates that can play a strategic partner role to myself in terms of the next steps for the business. Doug Clark, our Chief Operating Officer, will also be retiring at the same time. Dominique Vallée, formerly Vice President Sales, who has led Sales Division at Yellow Pages for the last decade, will succeed him as Senior Vice President, Sales and Customer Care. Dominique has led the change in our acquisition strategy and has delivered year over year on very ambitious customer acquisition objectives. I'm very confident that she will continue to help the company grow in this regard. Her experience and knowledge of our business and long experience with our customers will help us continue to grow our customer base and transform our customer service channels into experience and upsell channels. We're at a pivotal point in our return to growth strategy, where we now need to think about next step for the business. The changes announced today ensure our organization is best adapted to our current and future environment. In this third quarter of 2016, we find ourselves at the inflection point in our plan, and I would like to take a minute to reiterate our core business and strength, as well as a summary of what we accomplished to date in our turnaround strategy. In 3 years, we accomplished a lot. Our ability to service the marketing needs of local merchants and national brands across the country is more comprehensive and accessible than ever. Our digital media properties are becoming increasingly specialized across certain verticals that present growth opportunities. We've delivered a strong level of profitability and cash flow despite investing in transforming our business, and we've successfully reimbursed over half of our debt load. Most importantly, we've restored this company's ability to acquire customers, a feat that saluted Yellow Pages for over a decade. We have the largest national network of sales, customer service, and digital fulfillment professionals. Our sales force alone is among our greatest assets that I feel is consistently overlooked. This team spans coast to coast with people available to speak, meet, and assist small business owners across the country. This is important as there are over 1 million small businesses in Canada, and the majority of them still require personal interaction and assistance when it comes to maneuvering through the variety of options in the digital marketing space. This is a space that is only becoming more complex. This is why we've grown Yellow Pages into one of Canada's largest full-service digital marketing solution providers to answer the basic needs of the resource-starved, time-strapped small businesses. Moreover, our cost-to-cost presence and interaction with small businesses provide us with feedback mechanism to develop and adjust products that are tailored to their real-time needs. Examples of this ability include the accessibility and utility of our full-serve content syndication solution called NetSync and our one-page website products. Both of these provided affordable targeted solutions to common visibility and digital presence needs of our small business customer audience. Our recent advertising campaign, the Lemonade Stand, during which Yellow Pages opened its own small business and marketed it using our own digital media tools and services, resulted in a material lift in our perception as a credible supplier of digital advertising and marketing solutions. It also increased the likelihood of advertisers to consider Yellow Pages as a supplier for their marketing needs. Our customer count was 243,000 as at September 30, 2016, on a trailing 12-month basis. Our net customer count decline was 3,000 year-over-year. Compare this to 14,000 net customers lost during the same period last year, or the approximately 30,000 net customers we were losing per year before we launched our return to growth plan. On a sequential basis, our decline was only 1,000 customers between the second and third quarter of this year, and we are very pleased with our progress in this area. Before we launched the Return to Growth plan in 2013, we were also only acquiring 11,900 new customers in a 12-month period back in Q3 2014. Today, we more than tripled that, acquiring 40,200 customers in the last 12 months. The customer renewal rate was 83% for the 12-month period ended September 30, 2016, as compared to a renewal rate of 85% during the same period last year. This rate was adversely impacted by accelerated level of customer acquisition. Generally, new customers churn at higher rates than older cohorts. In an effort to protect customer renewal rates, Yellow Pages has deployed specialized onboarding and retention teams, which has demonstrated positive impact on improved churn. We are also actively improving the performance of our sales, customer service, and digital fulfillment teams by providing these teams with enriched tools to design and fulfill valuable digital marketing campaigns. In accordance with the strategy we laid out 3 years ago with Return to Growth, these various initiatives are translating into growth in digital revenues, which now total 68.9% of all revenues, up from 60.7% last year at this time. Remember that before we launched Return to Growth, our digital revenues totaled 45% for 2013, less than half of our total revenues. Our verticalized media help drive digital revenues. They provide us with a diversified offering able to penetrate areas in digital where we see growth opportunities such as restaurants, retail, and real estate. They also further cement our position in verticals we have been traditionally strong in, such as home services and health and wellness segments. Total digital visits to our network of media properties, excluding Comfrey du Proprio, total 109 million.4 for the third quarter, as compared to 124.1 million during the same period last year. Total digital visit performance improved slightly during the third quarter of 2016, as compared to the second quarter, which totaled 106.2 million. However, it remained adversely impacted by ongoing changes made since late 2015 to the layout of Google's mobile web search results pages. These changes push organic results for all mobile web publishers lower on Google search pages. Yellow Pages' leading ranking among Google's organic listings on mobile web, however, remain relatively unchanged despite this layout change, a reflection of the strong relevancy and quality of the company's data. In response to these changes, data-driven improvement and adjustment of user functionalities and experience remains a key focus for Yellow Pages in its platforms. We also continue to make ongoing improvements to functionality across our search results page to adapt to the real-time needs of users. We also introduced new layouts to the merchant pages, driven by data on which information users were choosing to click and interact with on the pages. These improvements all have the objective of ultimately driving greater return on investment for our customers by converting visitors into customers. We also leverage the strength of our partnership network, such as having Yellow Pages listing available on Apple Maps, driving directly to our applications. Our vertical media approach continues to deliver new opportunities as well. YP Dine, for instance, continues to offer restaurant owners a comprehensive solution of reservation, online ordering, as well as an out-of-the-box client relationship management system. We have segmented the sales team at YP Dine to more precisely target the high-end and low-end needs specific to the restaurant vertical. Just as YP Dine was developed out of the acquisition of several startup enterprises, we've added some new technologies and skill sets to our portfolio this quarter. Last month, we have also acquired an ownership stake in CoupGon, a digital grocery couponing platform based in Toronto. This technology will make an interesting addition to our existing retail vertical. It allows for the mobile tracking, clipping, and redeeming of coupons directly at the checkout counter in a retail location. Our stake in CoupGon allows us to expand our mobile retail offering and also facilitates relationship with over 50 consumer packaged good companies, including Saputo, Kellogg's, Kraft, meaning first-hand access to their product discounts and deals. This is another example of how startup investment can continue to help us find growth in new areas, expand our existing offering, and deliver additional or completely new value proposition to our current and potential customers. Comfrey Duproprio, for instance, provides Canadians with the expertise and media required to sell their homes themselves by breaking away from the traditional brokerage model. Although excluded from our total digital visit metric calculation, Comfrey Duproprio attracted 20 million visits during the third quarter of 2016 and consistently shows strong mobile and app traffic growth. As we continue to develop our vertical media offering, Comfrey Duproprio presents some cross-selling opportunities to traditional Yellow Pages segments such as home services. On the national advertising front, our national channels comprised of Mediative and Juice continue to position us strongly in this space. Together, these divisions service the digital marketing needs of some of North America's most respected brands and continue to contribute favorably to digital revenue growth. They are strong assets, despite a softer-than-expected performance of our national operation in the third quarter, which Jeanette will provide additional details on in a minute. In summary, we continue to build on the strength of our customer acquisition, our media network, and our brand as we enter the final phase of our return to growth plan and begin evaluating the next steps for our business. I will now let Jeanette share with you the financial update for Q3 2016.
Thank you, Julien. We continue to see progress in our financial metrics. Digital revenues grew 8.4% year-over-year to total $139 million for the quarter ended September 30, 2016, representing 69% of total revenues. This compares to $128 million, or 61% of revenues, during the same period last year. On a pro forma basis, digital revenues during the third quarter of 2016 grew 3% year-over-year. This growth is supported by our local, real estate, and national channels. In our local operations, this is driven by the acquisition and retention of customers, as well as the maintenance of growth in digital spending of renewing customers. Digital-only customers grew to 72,200, or 30% of the customer base as of September 30, 2016, an increase when compared to 49,100 digital-only customers, or 20% of the customer base, as of the same period last year. In 2013, prior to the return to growth plan, we started with less than 10% of our customer base as digital-only advertisers. In addition, 44% of our renewing local customer base see a year-over-year increase in annual spending over the 12-month period ended September 30, 2016. Our real estate operations also continue to contribute favorably to pro forma digital revenue growth. Comfrey du Proprio continues to grow its footprint in Quebec, where it accounts for 20% of all real estate transactions. Comfrey du Proprio is also entering new markets in Ontario, using targeted ad campaigns to grow awareness of its offering. Pro forma digital revenue growth continues to also be favorably impacted by growth in our national channels, yet performance in this area was softer than anticipated. Both Juice and Mediative has seasonality to their businesses that typically show strong growth in the back half of the year. This did not happen as anticipated in Q3. In this context, despite the fact that we anticipate a better performance in Q4, we are revising guidance on a pro forma digital revenue growth for the year ending December 31, 2016. It is now expected to range between 5 to 8% compared to the previously disclosed guidance of 9 to 11%. Consolidated revenues during the third quarter of 2016 decreased 4.5% to reach $201 million. On a pro forma basis, revenues decreased 7% year over year for the three-month period ended September 30, 2016. Print revenues decreased 24.4% year over year and amounted to $63 million during the third quarter of 2016. Print revenue performance was adversely impacted by a decline in the number of print customers and the migration of print marketing spending to digital. Adjusted EBITDA totaled $57 million for the three-month period ended September 30, 2016, as compared to $64 million during the same period last year. The adjusted EBITDA margin for the third quarter of 2016 was 28.3%, as compared to 30.3% for the third quarter of 2015. The decrease in adjusted EBITDA and adjusted EBITDA margin was principally due to lower print revenues, change in product mix, partly offset by the ongoing realization of cost-saving initiatives. The adjusted EBITDA margin was also impacted by the acquisition of Juice, which operates at a lower adjusted EBITDA margin relative to Yellow Pages prior to the acquisition. With softer than anticipated revenues from Juice, we anticipate delivering an adjusted EBITDA margin of approximately 29% for the year ending December 31, 2016, compared to the previously disclosed guidance of 28%. We continue to have strong free cash flow. Free cash flow for the three-month period ended September 30, 2016, increased to $58 million, as compared to $35 million during the same period last year. The increase in free cash flow was mainly resulting from the settlement of sales tax assessments, as well as lower capital expenditures. Net debt totaled $391 million as of September 30, 2016, as compared to $431 million as at the end of the prior year. The company made a $36 million principal mandatory redemption payment on its notes on May 31st, and we anticipate making a payment of $61 million on November 30th, bringing the total principal mandatory redemption payments in 2016 to $97 million. We remain confident in our ability to continue deleveraging our balance sheet as we approach May 31st, 2017. On this date, we gain flexibility to repay any tenders made on the senior secured notes at par. Now back over to Julien for concluding remarks.
Thank you, Jeanette. 3 years in, we are now at the pivotal inflection point in our five-year return to growth plan, where we start looking ahead to the next step for this business. Our overall results today continue to show strong progress. who have demonstrated a strengthening financial profile with ongoing digital revenue growth and debt repayment. We still have some challenges before us, however, we have a solid and stabilizing business. As we head into the final stretch of our return to growth plan, we are undertaking a process to determine how we continue to evolve our business and the strategy that goes along with that. We anticipate this exercise to be completed by early 2017. Part of this process includes the review of our management outlook, and we will provide updates on impacts, if any, where appropriate. We will not be in a position to comment further on this announcement until we are able to provide further updates. We believe this is the right step for the company at this point in time in order to remain focused on creating shareholder value. Thank you for taking time to join us today. I will now pass the call over to Paul for questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and anytime you wish, you can cancel that question by pressing the pound sign. So please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. We thank you for your patience. Thank you. The first question is from Aravinda Galapathy from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Julianne and Jeanette, I wanted to start with the digital revenues. I mean, I think you guys have been clear where sort of the variance to your expectations occurred in Juice and Mediative, but can you talk about how the core YP digital revenues as well as Compre performed? Was that essentially tracking your expectations, or was there a small miss there as well?
Hello, Arinda. Thank you for the question. Well, absolutely no. They were absolutely in line with our expectation, and that's primarily the reason why we're able to increase our guidance on margin, and because the gap was really into Juice and Mediative for some reason, one of them being investment made in Q2 instead of Q3 because of the Olympics in some of the big brands. But on the rest of the business, it's exactly tracking on target, and that's why for the end of the year, we are able to revise our guidance up in terms of percentage of margin from 28 to 29 because the rest of the business is absolutely delivering on target as expected.
Okay, and then just getting on into Juice and Mediative in particular, it appears that, I mean, in the past, even in recent quarters, Mediative seems to be a little bit hard to predict. You know, that seems to be where the variances occur. I mean, is that simply sort of a little bit more of a tougher visibility business? I mean, is that sort of the nature of that that space?
No, absolutely. Meaning, if you think about how Mediative and Juice are taking orders, they can take orders up to the last week of the quarter. So basically, they are really building their revenues every month up to the end of the month or every quarter up to the end of the quarter. So it's very hard to predict where they stand. Obviously, when you begin a month, for how they have booked 50-60% of the revenues for the month coming. So it's giving very high seasonality and very high unpredictability. So that's why what we saw in Q3 was not expected by us. Q1 and Q2 were strong quarters for both Mediative and Juice. But it seems that some brands, as I said, invested some of their advertising budget, their yearly advertising budget for the Olympics, and so spend less money than expected on Q3. We'll see on Q4. We remain optimistic on Q4. We think Q4 will be higher than Q3 in terms of digital growth, but that's why we maintain a range between 5 and 8. Obviously, Q4 will be very critical to be at the high end of the range or the low end of the range.
Okay, thanks for that. And then looking at the profitability side of things, you know, even though the EBITDA number would have been maybe a million or so or two lower than the street, I mean, considering the revenue variance, it actually probably did a lot better, suggesting the cost containment is pretty solid. Can you talk about what the outlook is in terms of, I mean, you've done a fair bit of work in trying to reduce the cost base and rationalize the cost base, and you took about another $10 million in restructuring. Can you just talk to the running room that you have to continue to rationalize that cost base?
Yeah, so maybe I will talk about some of the work that was done, and it is a reflection of what you find in the restructuring provision. So when we look, and I will have a discussion around the restructuring to give you an idea. So one-third of what you see in that restructuring provision is related to the abolition of sales support. So sales support was there, obviously, to help the sales organization. But given that we've delivered sales tools and the sales organization is becoming much more efficient, this is one area where we can have some cost efficiency, cost savings. And this is something that you see in the numbers and that you will continue to see. The second one would probably be ISIT, so on the technology front. So we're changing the approach. The way this team is working is changing. So they're embracing the agile methodology. And this is also allowing that team to be much more efficient. So one-third of what you've seen restructuring is related to these individuals who can exit, given that we're becoming much more efficient. So this is something that you will continue to see in future results. The third one actually is very different. The third one is more the alignment of the sales structure with lower revenue. So we make sure that we have the right sizing in terms of sales organization to cover the revenue. So we do continue to find some cost efficiencies, and we will continue doing so.
Okay. Great, thanks. And Jeanette, while I have you there, the solvency, the pension deficit funding, obviously came down, if I'm reading this correctly, it came down by about $5 million for 16 and about $6 million for 17 from your earlier projections, which is obviously a positive. But can you just help us understand what drove that?
Yes, absolutely. So there was a change in legislation in Quebec, so Bill 57, and basically this is allowing us to no longer include the indexing of the Quebec employees in the calculation of the deficit. So the pension deficit to fund has gone down from $92 million to $60 million, and as such, the amount to disburse on an annual basis has gone down significantly. So when you look at the total year, when we started the year, we were expecting approximately $26 million a year in funding deficit, but given the Ontario relief measures and the change in legislation in Quebec, it has gone from $26 million to approximately $14 million annually.
Okay. And then on the print side, I mean, we seem to be seeing that print decline rate tick up rather sequentially. I think if you go back to Q4 last year, it was as low as 19.5, and it's ticked up through 16 all the way to 24.4. Talk to what's happening here.
Well, basically, that's the same phenomenon in the past quarters. What's happening on print is Yellow Pages print decline is exactly on target, exactly as we forecasted. What we had consistently all over 2016 is an accelerated decline in one of our properties named YP Next Home, which is providing free magazine in the real estate. We saw a sharp decline, not totally expected on this one, and that's adding at least 1 or 2% pressure on our print decline, and that was exactly the same phenomenon all over 2016. So there's no acceleration on the Yellow Pages front. It's exactly as expected, but on Yellow Pages Next Home, that's the property which is creating the gap in our print decline.
Okay, thanks, Julian. My last question on the strategic side, obviously with the May 2017 timeframe, as that draws closer, is there some thought given to sort of maybe presenting a sort of a shareholder returns plan, given that your balance sheet is, you know, looking better with each period as the free cash flow comes in and you kind of move into a kind of a different phase in your evolution? I mean, is there some thought to the shareholder return side of things, either buybacks or dividends and so on?
Well, that's exactly to answer this type of question alongside the question on our debt and our future growth, which we take the time to do that strategic thinking and we'll communicate further on these different hypotheses. But that question is typically part of the different scenario we are looking at.
Great, thank you. I'll pass the line.
Thank you. The next question is from Vihan Ajanyan from Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
I got a question regarding the outlook for Juice Mobile. I understand when you purchased the company, revenue is growing on average about 100% a year for the last 3 years, and I was under the impression it would be somewhere around there for this year. What do we project for, I guess, either this year, or more importantly, how much can Juice grow in 2017?
So for this year, obviously, we'll be a bit lower than 100%. We'll still be very strong double-digit growth, more than 50%, but it will be less than 100% for sure. As I said, some seasonality, some changes also in management. In Q3, we had tactical issues, I would say, in Canada because we changed the head of sales in Canada in Juice. Plus, Neil Sweeney has left the company. So we think for Q4 2016, it's more rational to think about the around 50% growth for 2016. 2017 is too early. We are in the process to build our budget, so we'll see for 2017. So it's a bit early to tell. But for sure, it will be a strong double-digit growth for 2017, but a bit early to tell what will be the range of this growth.
Okay. And I understand there's usually a lag between investments made this year kind of help impact the revenue growth next year. You know, qualitatively, how would you say those investments are being in 2016 and used to help support 2017 revenue growth?
You mean just in Juice or globally at the organization?
Well, I guess in Juice first, and then if you can comment on the rest of the company.
Okay. Well, basically in Juice, you know, part of the growth has to come from the U.S. So basically in 2016, we have invested heavily to grow our U.S. operations. So mainly recruit people, because in this industry, you need to have platform, but you need to have people to sell. So in 2016, we are investing to grow Juice in the U.S. in terms of structure and people, with offices in New York, Chicago, L.A., and the big cities. And so obviously we are expecting that to give fruit in 2017 because these people will be in and begin to arrive in Q3 and Q4 2016. So they will have time to be full blast in 2017. And so definitely the U.S. market should contribute more heavily to growth for Juice in 2017. But overall, meaning our investments are always made to grow the future business. So typically the capex we have invested this year are very much based on improving our system, building our media, and that's really to generate growth opportunities and accelerating digital growth in 2017.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Drew McReynolds from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Good morning. Most of mine have been already answered here. But just, Julianne, just a couple of kind of bigger picture. When you look at your original return to growth plan, you talk about customer growth next year and then obviously financial growth the year after. And then we look at the timing of the strategic review, now. Are you course correcting here relative to those kind of benchmarks, or are those benchmarks still firmly in place? But what you're trying to do is maybe get there differently. I'm just trying to understand the backdrop here of everything that's obviously going on at the moment.
Yeah, Drew, that's a very fair question. So, no, basically, we are halfway on our plan. We set the plan in very beginning 2014. We are at the end of 2016. The plan was aimed at the end of 2018. So, in this industry, it's very hard to predict 5 years ahead. So, at half point, we decided to make a step back and say, okay, what did we achieve? And we achieved a lot of great things. And what do we want to achieve up to 2018, but also to prepare ourselves for post-2018, because we are not going to wait 2018 to think to post-2018. So that's exactly the process we are undertaking now. Fundamentally, we are very, very confident about the future of this business. Just to give you some figures, we know that the local market in Canada is $10 billion in advertising. Only 30% of it is digital. And we know in the coming 3 to 4 years, at least 20% of this money, which is more than $2 billion, will become digital in local markets. So that's tremendous opportunity for our company. We want to find the right way to achieve that opportunity. And we thought it was the right timing to take a step back, look at that, and come back with a full plan for 2016, 2018, and post-2018. Of course, the debt question at the end of May 2017 is also part of the thinking, because most of the question we have and we share is, are you going to pay down all your debt? What's the best capital structure? Are you thinking about shareholder giving back value to shareholders? So that's exactly the question we want to answer, and we think the timing is right now before May 2017 to answer that question.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that. And just one last on Juice. I guess over the years, I think for most of the analysts on the call, we've seen digital acquisitions, you know, that sometimes have worked, sometimes haven't worked. And obviously it's an extremely competitive space that's constantly evolving. You know, when you look at your Juice acquisition, I just want to make sure that from your standpoint, what you acquired is what you thought you acquired, and that there really isn't any structural issue here in terms of the market shifting, or you not, you know, getting what out of the platform what you originally thought.
Well, that's a great question. So let me remember you why we acquired Juice. We acquired Juice for two reasons. One is a fast growing market, and programmatic and mobile are at the core of the digital transformation of the advertising market. And of course, we have some softness in growth, but we still have a very high double-digit growth for 2016. We see that also for 2017. So it's really delivering very strong growth in a very competitive market. But the other side is we also bought Juice because we think that programmatic and mobile will be a core transformation also at the local space. And every time we look at Juice and we see the platform and we see the assets and the knowledge, we can absolutely confirm this. So Juice was made also to find growth on one side, but also to extract synergies and to understand how to drive programmatic and mobile programmatic in the local space, and that's absolutely doing the job.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on the telephone keypad if you have a question. The next question is from Bentley Cross from TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to wish you all the best in your forthcoming retirement.
Thank you.
In addition to that, I do have some questions. The first being I wanted to triangulate between some of the earlier questions on Juice and the core business. If you're expecting 50% plus growth for Juice, is it fair to assume Comfrey is in the very high single digits or maybe low double digits, and then the core business in the low single digits?
Well, I think it's a fair assessment. Comfrey, it will very much depend on where do we stand on the western provinces. You know, part of the issue we had with Comfrey du Proprio in 2016 was the sharp decline in Alberta. That was obviously not forecasted when we bought the company. We had very strong growth in Quebec, very strong growth in Ontario, but a sharp decline in Alberta and the western provinces. And so that has affected somehow the growth. So I would say the Comfrey picture is a bit mixed. If you look at Quebec and Ontario, where we have a double-digit growth, and Alberta, which is declining. So overall, would be exactly where you say, which is in the high single digit.
Okay. And then lastly, I don't want to beat a dead horse on traffic. I know we've talked about this in prior calls, but I think according to your plan, you're hoping to see traffic stabilize. Is that still the outlook for Q4, maybe even into early 2017?
Yeah, well, don't know, but that's, I think that's a very fair question. You know, traffic is always a concern. For sure, we have seen some progress between Q2 and Q3, not exactly what we were totally expecting. We still see some improvement in Q4. Obviously, traffic during the Black Friday weekend will be important, specifically for Red Flag Deals and YP Shopwise. So we'll see. So it's a bit early to make prediction for Q4 because it's heavily dependent on that 2 weeks, end of November. But we see interesting items coming from organic and direct traffic. We see that direct traffic is stabilizing. It's now growing again in some areas, specifically on mobile. So I'm pretty optimistic for traffic in 2017. For sure, the Google changes has hurt it a lot. You know, it's two dimensions. One is, of course, you lose short-term traffic, but also we did a lot of we are incentivizing our people going to our web pages to download the app. So if you have less mobile web pages because of Google's change in layout, you have also a bit less download. That's hurting you in direct traffic longer term. So that's a bit the ripple effect we had all over 2016. But we think now we are beginning to come out of this effect, and 2017 should show positive trends on traffic.
That's a very helpful caller. Thank you very much. That's all for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back to Mr. Bio.
Okay, Paul. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Obviously, we look forward to speaking with you in February when we report our Q4 results. Have a great day.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.